Welcome to the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America with Tim Matthews and Frank Bassett. Take it away, boys.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews with you today as we're getting ready for another stop on the PGA Tour. They stay in Florida, the guys who choose to play this week. The Honda Classic, the oldest tournament, sponsored tournament on the tour, and be moving up the coast a little bit or over to Palm Beach Gardens to play this week. And, of course, we'll also talk about the big tournament, the drama down in the Jacksonville area, Frank's favorite tournament of the year, the Players that just concluded as well. A lot of drama in that tournament that would be hard to replicate for sure this week at the Honda. But we'll talk about that. We also have our good friend Todd Lewis with the Golf Channel joining us to talk about both of those things, the tournament coming up and also the emotional victory for Justin Thomas at the Players Championship. And Todd had a big hand in a lot of that, the interviews afterwards and whatnot with the Thomas family and other players as well. So a lot of drama, a lot of fun at that tournament to watch. And Frank is still probably not recovered fully from it, but we'll know here in a second as he joins us from his Nashville studios. How you doing, Frank?
I'm not fully recovered from it. Are you kidding me?
Still crying that you weren't there?
Torn up that I wasn't there for the first time in many, 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 many years.
Yeah.
But boy, I'll tell you, I haven't had the opportunity to watch it on TV in many, 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 many years. And how did that course look on TV? Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
It really shows so well. And actually, folks, it's more gorgeous in person than it is on TV. It's unbelievable how pretty that place is. And
let me ask you this. I mean, they switched, obviously, a couple years ago from the later in May to back to March and all the changes that would incur. Did it, back in March in the past, always look as well? Did it come in? Because, you know, Bermuda grass, it needs some heat. It needs all that. Did it look as good in the old days back in March? It did. It always looked finished out.
Okay. It did. I didn't like it in May as much because it would get so baked out toward the end of the tournament. And if you remember when Jason Day won the Players' Championship, it was brown the last day. Of course, they were about to redo the entire course. They dug up that whole course after that, put in sub-air fairways everywhere, greens, just redid the whole golf course. But they let it bake out, and that's when it was almost unplayable. I mean, unputtable for sure. And Jason Day persevered and won the thing. But, to answer your question, the course is
always look great.
Just beautiful. And they've done so much more. And some of the tweaks that they've done from Pete's original design, some of the holes have been redone and drivable now, or one of them is. Some of the bunkering, the waste bunkering that used to be there were basically cart paths you would drive through if you had a cart and walk through, whatever, have turned into real bunkers now. So they've really tweaked this golf course to the point that TPC Sawgrass is, I think, what Pete envisioned to finally become, and Dean Beaman, who was the father of that course. It's not a major championship, and it shouldn't be a major championship. It is the Players' Championship. It sets itself totally apart from the majors. It is the Players. It is the greatest field in golf. It is not an invitational. No ticky, no wash.
It also happens. It also happens to be a fairly lucrative golf tournament, doesn't it? It's the highest pot, highest purse on the tour, and the winner gets. Did you see the video of Jimmy Johnson?
Yes. Yeah. When he looked at,
wins $2.7 million, which is the almost by $1 million. Well, some of the majors are around $2 million, but for most stops on the tour, it's about 1.456. This is 2.7 to win, and the caddies traditionally, almost everybody has the same deal. Gets 10% of winnings
when you win.
Jimmy Johnson walked by and looked kind of at the sheet that had the list, and I guess he'd never really realized that the winner got that much. He looked twice, and you could see his face going to the look on his face with his eyes popping out, going, "That's $270,000 to the caddy." And any other bonus he might get from Justin too. They all have their own little deals, but that's close to maybe a $300,000 weekend for the caddy.
That's I gotta go. I'm gonna start caddying.
Seriously,
I wonder if Graham McDowell. Darn it. See, you said Graham McDowell in pre-show when we were talking about this week's Honda Classic, and I went straight to that, as opposed to what I meant to say was Lee Westwood. I wonder if Westy is giving the percentage to. He came in second.
Fiance?
Yeah. And second place will be about 7%. If you don't win, it's 10, 7, 5, and then stays at 5 or whatever. It depends on the deals the caddies make. But
what's the deal that they have? Good question. Yeah, because it's his fiance, and it seems to be working for him. I tell you right now, she's been caddying for a little bit for him, but 2 weeks in a row, he goes into the final day and has a chance to win a championship at 48, nearly 48 years old. And he and Bryson DeChambeau actually were kind of head-to-head, and Justin Thomas, ahead of them, since they're in the final group, kind of said, well, the heck with you guys and your nice little return match week after week.
Yeah, it's a rematch. Here
and throwing a bunch of birdies, and Justin Thomas played almost flawless.
Golf.
I mean, just a beautiful day of golf for him.
We'll talk to Todd more about this, but his drive on 18, the second he hit it, and I lived there 14 years. I played that course constantly, so I know it really well. I know that water hazard. We're close. That water hazard and I are close. We're brothers. Let me tell you, I thought it was in the water, and that when it landed, that's the most fortuitous bounce I've ever seen on that hole, ever.
Yeah.
And I turned to the folks around me and I said, you know, guys, I think his grandfather just blew him a kiss from across the water and just shoved that ball back down the fairway.
What? Yeah, I thought it was going in.
He did too.
He put a big draw on it and he didn't play it. Started, I don't think, far enough out to the right, kind of started in the middle. And you're right, that thing normally bounces and funnels right down into the water. Yeah. He only ended up 5 yards away. I mean, he was a lot closer than he wanted to be. He had the same look as Jimmy Johnson when he saw what the paycheck was going to be when he got close to his ball and he walked up and you see him going, ooh, wow, that was a lot closer than it needed to be.
I thought Jimmy was going to choke on his water when he was in scoring. He was in the scoring room.
Yeah.
When he turned, stepped back in and looked at the sheet, the payout sheet, pay sheet, whatever. Second place, by the way, we're talking about Westwood and how much he might or may not have given his fiance. He probably better because, anyway.
You know what that putt was worth?
That putt he made was worth for solo second?
About $800 or something?
$500,000.
$500,000? Yeah.
Yep.
Because the difference was tied for third, like DeChambeau was, I think, about $800,000, and Westwood made about 1.6.
Yeah,
I believe, for second place. One point six.
1.6
for second
place.
I'll take that runner up.
I take last place in that tournament.
You know what makes me think about, Frank, is people now,
while we're doing radio,
are betting. They're betting on golf tournaments. Right, you're betting on a lot of different things.
Big time.
And our good friends at DraftKings are a big part of that whole thing. And this is March Madness. Did your team get in the field? I'm guessing Ole Miss did not make the field. Did they?
Yeah, good guess.
No. But a lot of colleges did, and this is the time of year when it gets really, really exciting. So we encourage everybody to check out DraftKings. Download their app. DraftKings app, and you can get involved in the action. March Madness, golf tournaments, virtually anything you want to know about when it comes to online betting, and everything is secure and safe and legal, and I'll be honest, it's a hell of a lot of fun is what it is.
DraftKings is a blast, and you're right, it is safe, it's secure, it's reliable, and it's the bank's open, folks. Just jump on in there. You can gamble on the Honda this week, the Honda Classic. Don't think they'll take any bets on the Players' Championship anymore. That's over with. But they still have, for all their customers, DraftKings still has a free shot at up to $100,000 in total prizes. So all you got to do is just head to the DraftKings app, make your picks, and take your chances. And also remember that download the DraftKings app now and use promo code GOLFTALK. Use promo code GOLFTALK to get a free shot at a share of $100,000 in total prizes with DraftKings Tournament Seeding Pool. That's promo code Golf Talk. Promo code Golf Talk to get a free shot at $100,000 in prizes. It's only at DraftKings.
Why would you not take a shot at that? Why would you not give a shot at that? And it's a lot of fun because you and your friends, I mean, this is time of year. This is what's kind of happened is DraftKings. We all probably for years and years have gotten into our pools, right, with our friends, our office workers, whatever, for March Madness. It was kind of almost as big a part of it as watching the actual games. Well, DraftKings has now expanded that to everything. So you can do it for all the different sports we're talking about, including golf, and do it with your buddies and have fun. It's a lot of fun. And, again, it's very secure, very reliable, and you can withdraw and deposit your funds at your convenience. They keep it all right there in the app. So
got an idea.
Again, check them out.
Got an idea for DraftKings.
Yes, sir.
I'll call my contact today. We need a special prop bet on how much Lee paid his fiance. We need a prop bet on how much the caddies get.
That's a good question. When is her wedding, I wonder? Right? Are they close to getting married?
We made a prop bet on that. It was supposed to have been last year, but COVID shut it down. Oh. So I guess this year sometime. I don't know.
That would be really interesting to find out. Because as of right now, like officially, their money is separate. Not that we're getting too deep into this. But, you know, I mean, they're not technically married. So I wonder if his agent's kind of going, Lee, let's hold off on until we're really, really sure. And you actually got the document signed that you're married before you start handing out too much cash. So, yeah, I don't know. She did a good job. She kept him calm. He smiled. People noticed that. He smiled and seemed lighter mood-wise than he almost ever does. He's very focused a lot of times. And he was smiling up a storm. Why wouldn't he be? I mean, those are two great weeks that he had back to back.
Yeah, and also let's be real about this. Did you see when they came in on Saturday for the tournament when they walked in from the parking lot?
I don't think she's
a beautiful woman. So
yeah,
Lee, you're way over your head, buddy. You just really are. So be careful and pay big. Okay, give her full 10%. Give her 10%.
Look at you. Look at you. How generous you are with other people's money. Lee, give it all to her. Just give it all to her. Why not?
Sure. Well,
I would.
Once he gets married, if he messes up, he will give it all to her. So there.
Yeah, it's all going to go that way anyway, so it doesn't matter. On that happy note, let's take a quick break. We've got Todd Lewis with Golf Channel standing by ready to join us to put in his 2 cents worth on Lee Westwood and his caddy and the money involved and Justin Thomas, how much money he put in the bank. And everything else to talk about with Todd. So let's take a break, and we'll come back to talk with him. You're listening to Golf Talk America, and we will return right after this. Welcome back to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews along with Frank Bassett joining you. We've been talking about what happened last week at the Players' Championship. And, of course, what's happening coming up this week, the Honda Classic. A lot of guys are taking the week off. A lot of the bigger name golfers, it seems like they've been blowing and going for a while now, and a lot of them are taking some time off, much needed time off. The Masters right around the corner, all those big events, the WGC events, and all those take precedence in a lot of those guys' schedules. So this is maybe an opportunity at the Honda Classic for somebody to sneak in there and get a nice little payday that normally with a different field may not be the case. So we'll talk a little bit about that. And joining us now is our good friend Todd Lewis with Golf Channel. Todd, how are you doing this morning? Thanks so much for being with us.
It's my pleasure, boys. I'm doing well. How are you?
Good, buddy.
So the Players' Championship, Todd, was just completed, as we all know. And Frank and I were talking about, you know, kind of the rematch with Westwood and DeChambeau. And then Justin Thomas kind of spoils everything and goes out there and just shoots, as he said, one of the best rounds he's ever played, and it's exactly what he needed to do. And he's kind of the guy that sees the moment. A lot of the guys were being tentative and a little scared, as was understandable with all the shots they had to hit. And Justin Thomas just played lights out. If anybody deserved to win, it was Justin Thomas. It was one of the best rounds of golf that I remember seeing in the last several years.
Yeah, I mean, I was expecting Justin to have a really strong 2021. Of course, the beginning of the year has not been his best. Some of that is self-inflicted, and he has been incredibly apologetic about it. And the other was just circumstances that were beyond his control. And you know, we, as fans and media members, we look at these guys inside the box of being professionals, and we often compartmentalize them as like, hey, entertain us. Hey, why aren't you making 15 birdies around? You know, but there's stuff obviously that happens outside the ropes that affects them inside the ropes, just like with all of us. I mean, our job is affected by some struggles that we go through away from our profession. And so that was affecting him. But I think he has grown so much, learned so much over the last few months, and toughened himself up. Now I feel as over the last couple of weeks, he's in a good spot. He's even stronger than he was prior to the beginning of 2021. And mentally, I mean, he showed it out on the golf course on the weekend. I mean, he was 7 back after 36 holes. Right. And for him to not only play well Sunday, but let's not forget what he did on Saturday as well, shooting that impressive number to put himself into contention. And these guys know that Justin Thomas has tremendous talent. And when they see him on a leaderboard creeping up, that'll make them shake in their foot joys. Cause this guy's got so much talent. He really does.
Todd, not being there for the first time in I don't know how many years, forever for me this time, the course is always, I mean, immaculate and has been. It's evolved from day one when Jerry Pate won it on that golf course to today. But on TV this year, just seeing you were there, give us your insight, because it looked like it was in the best condition I've ever seen TPC Sawgrass. Ever.
Yeah, when I arrived on the grounds on Monday, I was talking actually to Justin and some other players who were playing a practice round. They said they've never seen it better. And when they say that, that's not necessarily just about the condition, about how green it looked, that, you know, sparkling Kelly green, but also in what it offers in regards to challenges to pick a great champion in the players. No offense to the good folks at the RNA, the PGA of America, the USGA, and of course Augusta National. In my opinion, this is without a doubt a major championship. In my opinion, you could argue it's the biggest tournament to win if you look at not the history, but the field. I've said this several times. There are no club pros and no amateurs in the players. These are the best of the best. And if you combine that with the fact this golf course magnifies mistakes, I feel like more than any other golf course that these guys play on tour, if you're just slightly off, you're going to be a lot off on that golf course. You can't get away with it. You can't just go through the motions on that golf course. So, and the fact that I think this is really key too, and we hear this each and every year, that it doesn't cater to one style of player. A bomber can win there, an accurate player can win there, a great putter. I mean, we have seen so many different kind of players win on that golf course. So I think it's in my opinion, I know it's the premier event for the PGA Tour. I think it could be the premier event of the year in regards to professional golf.
It's funny you say that, Todd, because that's exactly what Tim and I were discussing in the first segment this morning. Is I said it's not a major. It is the Players' Championship. It is the best of the best as far as I'm concerned. I'm a little biased from living there so many years, but to speak to what you just said, that field, you're right. There's anybody in that field is capable of winning that tournament. That's the thing about the Players' Championship. I mean, anybody could win it. So, yeah, it's just awesome.
I mean, yeah, if you just look at strength of field, I mean, just literally look at it. I mean, and again, this is no offense to the great opportunities, again, that the PGA of America offer the professionals, the club professionals to play in that event. It's nothing against, obviously, what Augusta National does and offering the great amateurs. I mean, that's what Bobby Jones Tradition is about. It's nothing about the USGA where you have to go through sectional qualifying, which, you know, gets a lot of great storylines. But these are the best. I mean, these are the best professionals on the planet. And they are coming to play a golf course that is just, I mean, it's menacing, but fair. And, you know, I've looked at this from a lot of angles. And again, I think the major championships are just that. They are major, but I cannot be convinced that the players is not just as important. It's that big a deal.
And if you look at past champions of that tournament, let's go back to Fred Funk. At age 40, what was Fred? Was he 47?
48.
48. I mean, a little bit older than Lee Westwood.
Yeah. Unbelievable. Yeah. And O'Meara, you know, I mean, and Craig Perks, when Craig Perks broke out, was he in the top 100 at that time? I don't believe so.
It was his first players. I'm not exactly sure of his ranking.
Yeah, first players.
Exactly.
Just unbelievable winners of that golf tournament. And, it was one of the funny things that Justin said, and I know you're very close with that family. He said, I didn't realize what the deal with the flag was, which I thought was funny. I would think he would know that, but that center flagpole there in the circle is for the champion's country. And this is the first time in, I think, 2 or 3 years that an American flag has been atop that pole. So we're proud of Justin Thomas, I'll tell you. Give us a little bit before we jump on to some of the other players about, I'm sure you were watching on the monitor on 18 when he teed it up and put that big hook on it. The camera on the coverage, of course, went to the golf ball. And because I know the course so well, I saw that ball going and I said, it's wet. That ball is wet all day. How did it stay out of that hazard?
Well, he was trying to hit the same shot if you watch the tournament that he hit on 16. And if you, that par 5, he hit that kind of low screaming hook on that hole And that was by design. It wasn't a miss hit because he doesn't like the setup from the tee on that hole. And so he just likes to get a low draw and have it just run, especially in firm conditions. He's trying to do the same thing on 18, except he tugged it a little more left. And he said, I did not anticipate it going that far left. And as soon as it left his face, I talked to him about it. He said, oh, man, that's wet. And he got a fortuitous bounce. He hit just the right camber of one of those banks that it kicked it straight. If he'd have been a foot more shorter or longer, well, I would say a foot, maybe a yard longer or shorter, that ball is in the penalty area. So he got a decent break there. And I think the funniest thing to me, I mean, if you watched intensely in that final round, he hit 17 greens and he came to the 18th. Yeah. He had a sandwich in his hand. He missed it. I'm like, what are you doing?
By an inch.
But still was able to get up and down for par.
By an inch. So, that would have been the first.
From a ball striking perspective, in regards to the pressure, again, of winning what I consider, and he considers too, and everybody in that field, a prestigious tournament that is equal to a major, for him to hit 17 of 18 greens, that's phenomenal on that golf course.
Only one other person's done that.
Yeah. You know, so a great round of golf. And we're joined by Todd Lewis with Golf Channel. And Todd, speaking of that, it made me think when you guys brought up and Frank said that about what happened to that shot and how by design, try to do this, try to do that. Everybody's designing to hit perfect shots. Take us back. I don't know if you saw it. You're very, very busy during the tournament and what you can see on monitors or not. And Frank, I want to curious what you think too. I think, was it 11 for both DeChambeau and Westwood that hit shots that Frank and I would normally hit if we were playing that golf course? They both shank. DeChambeau tops his ball into the water, what, maybe 100 yards, and then Westwood steps up and slices his 60 yards into a hazard to the right, and then DeChambeau in the second one, right? He hits it into the trees. He's like, what is happening? It was so unusual to see golfers at that level. I guess the pressure's there. Everything can add to that, but it's not very common, is it, Todd, that you see guys at that level hit really horrible shots like
it was,
that?
It was actually on the opening nine. It was on the front nine.
Is that what it was? Okay.
Yes. But first off, with Lee's shot, Lee admitted that, you know, he ran out of gas. His body was kind of like, he was trying to get his body to do things that it had done the previous 3 days and the previous 4 days at Bay Hill. And he admits he just did not have as much energy. So his swing was a little loose. Bryson was shocking, to be honest. He was trying to hit a low stinger and he was about a half inch too high and caught it kind of in the equator. For somebody who studies the swing and works at it more than anybody, in my opinion, on the PGA Tour, that was an unusual shot. And he admitted it was, you know, obviously not a great shot, but he battled back, put himself in contention. I mean, look, these guys are so good. I mean, I'm a five handicap and I try to manipulate shots, but I mean, they can do it on a, you know, I mean, without any problem whatsoever. It's just amazing to me how great these guys are. And just an indication of that, not to go on a little tangent here, but you remember there was a little bit of, I wouldn't call it controversy, but definitely newsworthy in the fact that the PGA Tour put internal out of bounds left of the water on 18. That is not the first time that's happened this year. It actually happened at Wailea. They had to put internal out of bounds for the Sony Open. It's because players are now looking at these golf courses and different approaches and strategies to play these golf courses because there haven't been fans and there haven't been structures built out for these tour events. So now they're like, well, I can do this. I can go that way.
Right.
And it's
right.
kept the PGA Tour officials on their toes. But again, that just speaks to their talent and their vision and what they feel like they can do. So it's remarkable how good these guys are right now.
They're incredibly talented, and it was a lot of fun. And even to your point of how good their shots are, the fact that DeChambeau still salvaged a bogey, and I believe Westwood did too, on that, or maybe got a double bogey, but DeChambeau stuck in the trees, still gets a great fourth shot and salvages a bogey out of what could have easily been a double triple bogey, was pretty amazing for him to come back like that. So it was a lot of fun, a lot of excitement at that event. We talked, Todd, with you a little bit about this week coming up, the Honda Classic, and the fact that a lot of the guys take the week off. It also speaks to how tough it is on the tour when you look at it from that standpoint, from the tournament director standpoint and the marketing and everything these organizations do, the volunteers to put a tournament together. it's still a bit of a luck of the draw. The Honda just comes at a time when you got a the tournament, the match play coming up pretty soon in Austin, right around the corner. You just come off of a couple of big weeks, and some tournaments suffer because of that, scheduling wise. This tournament being one of those two, that the Honda. So it's not easy putting on a PGA Tour event when you're on that side of the ropes either, trying to organize the whole thing and get those players to come to your event.
No, it's not. But that still, I mean, yes, Ken Kennerly, the great tournament director, executive director for the Honda Classic. I feel bad for them. They're in a tough spot, but at the same time, they're going to put on a great show. The golf course is one of the toughest in Florida.
Oh yeah,
with the bear trap. Oh, and somebody's going to emerge. I mean, there's a lot to be said for tournaments that may not have the top 10 in the world, a lot of those players there, but that doesn't mean they're great storylines, and that doesn't mean they're great players that can emerge and become superstars. I mean, Jordan Spieth had to win for the first time somewhere, and he did that to John Deere.
Sure.
And so it's still, I still think, if you think that this is going to be not worth watching, you're totally wrong.
Yeah.
It's going to be a great, great event, and we're going to have fans there, and somebody's going to get a $1-point-some-odd-million check and going to get an invite to the Masters if they're already not there. So it'll be great.
Yeah, Ken, you spoke of Ken Kennerly. What a great gentleman he is, and he is in a tough spot, but he's done a fabulous job with the Honda. And, again, it's the oldest sponsor, I think, on the PGA Tour, Honda is, for that tournament. So we wish them the best, and we'll certainly be watching. But I want to back up just for a moment to Roy McIlroy and what he said, and get your reaction, Todd, because you have the pulse of what was going on at TPC Sawgrass last week, when he said he was going for more distance and that's caused his problems, and now he's trying to get back to his old swing. What was the reaction? What was your reaction to that when you heard that in the press conference?
Well, he's not the only one. And generally, I have only seen one player that has benefited from bulking up and hitting it farther, and that is Bryson DeChambeau.
Yeah.
And that may be because he's, again, I said this before, he is outworking everybody else on the PGA Tour and trying to understand exactly what he's doing with this. I mean, what do they say in that Spider-Man movie? With great power comes great responsibility. And I think that's what he has. So
yeah, good reference. Good reference.
Yes, he has great power, but he's got to be responsible in making sure that he hits in the middle of the face. Rory increases, and he knows this, and this is not a criticism of, but, you know, he wanted to try it. Him increasing his swing speed 3 to 4, 5 miles per hour means nothing if you're not hitting it in the middle of the face. And so that's why you have to stay in control. And Rory, in my opinion, was one of the best drivers on the PGA Tour and still is definitely very, very high. But you got to hit in the center, and you got to understand the control of your mechanics. And so he'll get back to the drawing board a bit. So, but yes, he's not the only one. A lot of guys have tried this as well.
Yeah.
When you look at Lee Westwood, who's obviously not that way, but look what he's done over the last 2 weeks in hitting the face in the middle. That's why we love golf, because there's so many ways that you put down a 65 in different kind of, you know, styles and mechanics. So we'll see.
There was a lot of hope also last week for someone who falls into that same category regarding going for distance and maybe sacrificing some other things, and that was Jordan Spieth. Jordan, what was the reaction there at Sawgrass for Jordan? I mean, there was a lot of hope for him, and he did play well at the first of the tournament.
Well, it's not just at Sawgrass. I think Jordan is becoming one of the better storylines in the PGA Tour. I spoke with Jordan in his first start of 2021. We did an interview with him for Golf Central. And after interviewing him and talking to him last year, in the middle part and the latter part of last year, you know, I felt that he was kind of defeated. He would often, without me even asking, unsolicited, you know, when I wanted to talk about UT football or whatever else, you know, just talk something about golf, he would bring it up. Hey, my swing's close. You know, that indicated to me that that's all he's thinking about, and he'd become obsessive about it. But I talked to him at the beginning of the year after the break, and he took like 8 weeks off, I believe. maybe longer, maybe 10 weeks off, but he spoke with a different confidence. And someone who felt like he'd done a lot of work, but at the same time, he's not obsessive. He's not having his golf swing define him as a person, if that makes sense. And I feel like that's a trap that a lot of these guys get into, is like, this is everything I am. This is my golf game. Bryson's like that right now. I mean, that Bryson is, I mean, he won Sunday, and Monday afternoon, he was hitting balls on the range at Ponte Vedra. At Sawgrass. So, I mean, that's all he's thinking about. It's, and which good for him. It's working for him. And you have to be selfish in this game. But I think Jordan kind of recharged some batteries, found a little bit in his golf swing, and decided not to be, again, compulsive and obsessive about results and mechanics and so on, and go out and play and be an artist. That's what he's best at. So we're seeing some fruit of that labors right now.
Hey, Todd, we're talking with Todd Lewis with the Golf Channel. I know you're a busy guy, and before we let you go, get probably a rare day off to hang out and do something other than talk about golf. I did want to ask, though, about the change with the fans coming in at the last several tournaments and continuing to do the same thing. How much of a difference if you're actually there? Frank and I, as Frank has said, Frank cries almost every day, Todd, the fact that he can't get on tour, can't be out there
driving
at all
nuts.
The tournaments he'd normally like to be at. But what is the difference? Is it tangible? Because the players mention it, and it's nice. And I'm wondering sometimes, is it just because they're complimenting and saying, hey, thank you, fans, for being there? Or is it a tangible difference to even have 3,000 or 4,000 or 5,000 fans versus the 25 or 30 you might have? Does it make a difference as they're hitting shots and they're getting a feel of a golf course during a tournament?
Yes, I think it does make a difference. I think not only it makes a difference in having them there and you know, as far as like setting an atmosphere of a golf tournament, I think it affects competition. If you look at the players that have won since coming to Florida from the West Coast, let's look at them now. That's Colin Morikawa. That's Bryson DeChambeau. And that's Justin Thomas. What are those three have in common? Top 10 players in the world. They are used to the spotlight. They are proven winners and major champions. So if you think about that, prior to the fans not being there, there wasn't an added element of pressure because you've got all these eyeballs looking at you as you're trying to win a tournament. And these kind of, I wouldn't call them lesser class, I guess, I mean, they're these middle tier players, these good, solid professionals. The pressure of them trying to win internally is enough. And then you add 5,000 to 6,000 more fans watching you. That adds even more. Whereas the Brysons, the Morikawas, the Justin Thomases, they've been in that situation and they're used to it. So these other players didn't have that added element of pressure. Now you add the fans. And again, that's another layer of pressure. And now you're going to see the better players eventually rise and handle that pressure better than the others. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, it does.
So, I mean, Justin Thomas told me this last year because he was in a situation when the second half of last year, he had put himself in position to win on Sunday. And he said, I was just watching these other players thinking that they would kind of fall off. And then I realized that they weren't, that they were still remaining aggressive and they were still hitting the shots. And he said a lot of that was because the fans weren't there to add more pressure to them. And I was used to being in that situation. So I thought they would just kind of, he started eyeing what everybody else was doing instead of being concerned about what he should do. I think it adds a great element to the competition as well. No doubt about it, having fans back.
Interesting. Very interesting. Yeah, it adds to the viewership, too. I mean, I got to tell you, watching a TV just looks better. When there was no fans, it was almost like you kept watching the Tiger Phil, you know, made-for-TV events with nobody out there and just a few golfers and a caddy here and there. It's nice to see even the smattering of fans that are out there watching these guys. So, anyway, it was enjoyable. You guys at Golf Channel and you particularly, Todd, did a great job as usual.
Absolutely.
And
congratulations on another
successful event. And anyway, we'll let you go. We appreciate so much you taking some time to talk with us. We look forward to having you on again real soon, okay?
Anytime, guys. Love to talk with you.
Thanks, Todd. See you at the Masters.
You got it. Take care, boys.
See ya.
All right, take care. Todd Lewis with Golf Channel. And, yeah, they did a great job. They always do. a great job of covering, which is not easy. We don't talk about that enough, Frank. People think about covering any sporting event. Well, a basketball court doesn't move. Or does a football field or a tennis court, right? They're right there in front of you. Yeah. Cameras are kind of set. You got to cover 300 acres, right, with cameras everywhere and hope that, oh, by the way, way over here, a guy just got three straight birdies. We got to go get some highlights of that and over here. And you're running around everywhere. It's so hard to do. And anyway, Golf Channel, it NBC, is. CBS, all those guys do a great job.
And it's hard to do if for our listeners who watched, and I'm when I'm watching it on TV, I'm watching it on two different TVs, and I have, immediately when it switches from NBC to the Golf Channel and vice versa, and I'm watching it on the computer. So I get to catch it a lot more than most people probably try to catch. Catching that interview that Todd did with Mike Thomas took me to my knees because Todd was talking to Mike about, Justin, and Mike said, well, it's best ball striking I've seen, yada, yada, yada. And, this means so much to our family and my dad. And when he said my dad, he broke down. And when he broke down, I started tearing up. And Todd tried to hold it together. And then in Todd's voice, although he wasn't on camera, you heard his voice talking to Mike, he started breaking up. And so then everybody in my house was breaking up. So we were all in tears watching that. And my point and going there is these folks are humans, and we dehumanize a lot of these professional athletes. They're humans. They have families. They have, as Todd so eloquently said earlier, they have issues that are going on with them. They have problems in their life or challenges in their life that quite possibly affect their ability to even communicate sometimes. So kudos to Todd Lewis for the job that he did interviewing Justin, Lee Westwood, Bryson DeChambeau, and especially Mike Thomas in that post-round interview that was so emotional. And congratulations to the Thomas family. I think people needed to see that they're really human, because sometimes people think they're a little cold. Well, they're not.
Yeah,
They're really warm, caring, loving people. And so congratulations. I'll shut up.
A lot of guys have a lot of stuff going on off the course, off the field, whatever, in sports. And we don't always think about that. We kind of just... Well, just do your job. Just do what you well. It's hard to do.
It's
a lot of distractions that are going on. So anyway, congratulations to Justin Thomas. A great event. As you said, they go to the Honda Classic. The tour does and makes a stop in Palm Beach Gardens, and then they head to God's Country after that. And the tour makes a stop at Austin Country Club for the next World Golf Championship, the Dell Technologies Match Play, which is always a lot of fun.
Oh, what a beautiful!
Of course, that was canceled. A lot of these canceled from last year. Right, we're looking, Frank, at a year ago, the Players.
I know.
When COVID kind of hit. So that's where we've come. I don't know if we'd get through a year, but we somehow made it a year. And you can mark it on the calendar from the last time that we saw these guys at the Players. They were all packing their bags and heading home. And now we're full swing and playing on the PGA Tour. Anyway, it's good to see. It's good to see these guys. And good to see some of these tournaments, like the Dell Match Play, that we hadn't seen in a couple of years now, that would be nice to see them.
What a venue.
Getting back on the
Austin,
course and playing.
Austin
so.
Country Club, what a venue. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's a beautiful place.
Yeah, it is a gorgeous place. So, anyway, all good. By the way, if before we say goodbye here, Frank, if people want to check out their own club and find a club, if you don't have one, then Club Corp is the place to go, one of our wonderful sponsors, and we love them dearly. Go to clubcorp.com, and you can find out, of course, all over the country, over 250 different clubs, and they also have social clubs and dinner clubs that are around the country as well in cities, and you can see them all right there at clubcorp.com. Just the drop-down will give you a state and the area you're looking at, and you can try it out. Put your toe in the water, figuratively, and play a little bit of golf. They'll let you do that and see if it's the right fit for you. And the beauty of it is when you're a member at one, like Frank is in Nashville, he can come to Dallas, he can go to Florida, he can go to Firestone, and you get – benefits and certain status at playing at these different courses around the country. So it's not really just even one golf course you're a member of. That's what makes it really special at clubcorp.com.
Yeah, it is. And not to forget our good friends at the French Lick Resort, frenchlick.com. Check it out. The course is just about to open up for the season, the Pete Dye course there. When we talk about Sawgrass and TPC Sawgrass, there's another Pete Dye course that we play a lot, and that's the French Lick Resort. So check out frenchlick.com. They're a great sponsor of this show, have been since the first show we ever did. So looking forward to being up there. There's going to be some Symetra Tour events going on, senior LPGA stuff, and we're going to be playing a lot of golf up there. By the way, going to Firestone, there's – an NFL Alumni Association tournament coming up the end of April that that we may be doing a bunch of interviews with former NFL greats. So we're looking really forward to that at Firestone Country Club also. So a lot going on. Looks like we're going to get on the road again, as Willie says, but maybe not in Willie's bus.
Yeah, that would be Willie's backyard if we went to Austin. That's for darn sure.
It would be. Yeah. It would be. All right, brother. Right, another good show.
Okay. Good show. Good show. Thanks to Todd Lewis for being with us. Doing another great job, giving us some great insight into what it's like to be right there inside the ropes with Todd Lewis. That's the segment. That's what we'll call it when we have Todd on there. We do appreciate him taking time to be with us. Again, thanks to Club Corp, French Lick, and all of our great sponsors, DraftKings as well. We love each and every one of you for listening. And for Frank Bassett, I'm Tim Matthews. Remember to join us next time right here on Golf Talk America.